T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Because you're not thinking about making the play.
I asked Coach McDermott in a conversation I had with him briefly at the end of this week about that, and why he felt the need to do that. And he said, the season is so long, and during the course of a season, it's not like guys are making conscious decisions to worry about mistakes. But the season changes. Every game changes, right? Everybody's approach to the game changes as you move through the long season.
Yeah, things happen. I mean, good and bad. And sometimes you can get on a roll. We have just great confidence, and you're just playing lights out. You're not thinking about anything, or as a season happens, adversity happens in everybody's season, whether it's in a game or throughout the entire season, where bad things happen, and you can't get out of the funk. You're trying to correct things, and you're like, man, I'm just playing tight. Like for us with the run game, now everybody's very stagnant and just sitting there, being in their gaps and not moving, not being playmakers, which is why you get guys on your team to be playmakers, not just to sit. Anybody can sit there on the line and just stay in their gap. But when that happens, you just don't play free and flow. It's kind of hard to explain, but when you're playing loose, you just end up making plays downhill. You see things, you communicate, and you're not worried about messing up.
We had your teammate, your talkative teammate, Matt Milano, on the show with us yesterday. But we asked, he's talking about the issues against the run the last 4 or 5 games now. He thinks it's big chunk runs and not necessarily a constant barrage of little runs.
I would agree with that. When we've given up the run, it's been, 20, 25 yarders or big screens, big plays that just, man, what happened on that?
So those count too.
They do, but it's different for me. It's different. It feels a lot worse when a team methodically works their way down the field, running 4, 5, 6, 7, versus a big chunk run. Oh, somebody missed a tackle, or somebody was out of their gap on that one play. But if it consistently happens, like back to back plays as they work down the field, that's, it's just the physicality, the way they dominate the line of scrimmage. It feels worse as a defender.
So your run defense, there's a couple of things about your defense. It continues to play extremely well. Even the close loss last week to Cleveland, your defense, run defense, okay, once in a while you get gashed. But the bottom line is you're tough to score on still.
Right.
One of the things that I think could help you, and talk about how patient you have to be waiting for turnovers to happen and how you can make them happen. Does playing fearless maybe lead to more of those, or possibly, or is that part of the mindset?
Yeah, and we had a couple of opportunities. I had a play on the sideline. It would have been probably a great interception, probably a top tenner. But, when you have those opportunities, be able to catch the ball. Tre'Davious and Mike Jordan Poyer run into each other when we had an interception. So we had our opportunities.
Went off Tre'Davious' face mask. Yeah.
Right, because Jordan was breaking on the ball because it was two men, had a great break, and doesn't see him because he's zeroed on the ball. So it's just taking advantage of the ones that we have the opportunity to get. But sometimes you can go too far as affecting your tackling. Right. Like being the only guy there and you trying to strip the ball out while the guys continue to gather yak. So you have to, be conscious about tackling. If you're the second or third man coming in, and I thought some guys did a great job of it last week, of just trying to punch and trying to get it out. And eventually they come. They normally come in bunches, but you just have to be mindful of it. And I think guys are, for the most part.
With Lorenzo Alexander, Buffalo linebacker, going to talk about his lowdown for the game and what he thinks the Bills need to do to win this game against Miami. But if you can just put your NFLPA cap on for a second here and talk to me about your thoughts of what's being called a breakthrough in terms of negotiations for a new CBA. They think they might get it done by the Super Bowl, and they're talking about how likely it is to have a 17-game regular season. What do you think?
Who's talking about that?
It was reported in the Washington Post this week.
By the NFLPA or the NFL?
Probably the NFL.
Okay. I don't know any. I haven't been in the meeting. I'm on the executive committee. So as far as that goes, we're still making sure our guys are preparing for a work stoppage, because talks won't be able to get picked up until after the season, because majority of our guys, if not all of them, are on the NFL roster. I think 2 aren't right now, and there's no time to meet. So they've met with, our president, and that's about it. Some talks here and there, but nothing to where it's close of being signed.
You don't have any ideas on a 17-game schedule? You don't want to talk about that?
Or? Do I have an idea on
the
17?
Do you think it's a good idea?
No, I don't. I think I voiced that before. I mean, the game is already hard enough. You add another game, that's more of an impact on my body, moving forward in the younger guys' bodies. I mean, so what other concessions are they making outside of that, from a medical standpoint? Yeah. from the way the split of the money's made up, you know, because they're investing in it. But at this point, the NFL is the NFL. It's going to grow. You know, it's about, you know, the players out there that are actually making all that happen and why people are tuning in and why people want a 17th game. And so for me, it all comes back to equability. You know, everything being even. And that is going to be the fight.
Right. You sound like you're gearing up for the fight already. I admire
you. You have to have that mindset because in their mind, I mean, they're going to try to keep on what they have. And we want more, essentially, because we feel like we bring half of the value, if not more of the value, because of what we do.
Value.
Right. I mean, right. We are what people come, why people want to build new stadiums, why people pack it out, why all these TV dollars, why people want to have their eyes on it. It's us at this point. I understand back in the day when people had to make an investment and they didn't quite know what the NFL was going to be. Mm-hmm. You know what the NFL is. You got people knocking down the door trying to be owners.
Yeah.
And they're not letting nobody in because they want to keep it tight-knit. So don't
you are ready to go.
So let's don't try to fool me. You know, I'm just saying, just be real. Don't try to make it seem like you're doing all this hard work. No, you're not. It's the NFL. Running the NFL is easy. You can throw a whole bunch of ideas out there, and 90% of them are going to make money because people love the game of football because of the players.
You are ready to go. Yeah. Negotiation can start tomorrow
That's
for Lorenzo.
Right.
You're ready, right? You're ready
for it. We've been negotiating, but obviously before the season, but not in that sense.
One thing that's also on the docket this weekend that's probably off your guys' radar, although you've probably had conversations in the locker room with all the guys, Colin Kaepernick's getting a workout with all the NFL teams down in Atlanta. What are the players thinking about that at this point? I know you got in the middle of the season, lots going on, but certainly you guys have got a thought about it.
Well, I don't know if there's been a huge conversation piece. I mean, obviously it's a little unconventional, and you look on Twitter and people are wondering why it's not on Tuesday. I think he thought it was going to be on a Tuesday. You know, for me, I'm like, you have an opportunity, whether it's ideal or not. Most of the time it's not ideal for most guys. I mean, I know we've had some workouts here on a Tuesday where guys are out there at 7 a.m. in the morning, 8 a.m. in the morning working out, and they might have flown from the West Coast. That's not ideal workout. So you have an opportunity. Hopefully all 32 teams show up and give you an opportunity to showcase your talent. But I can't, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So he has an opportunity. Hopefully he shows up and has a great workout.
Lorenzo Alexander with us for the lowdown. The Bills in Miami coming up Sunday. Your team beat the Dolphins by 10 a month ago. Are they much different than they were a month ago? I know they've won a couple times.
Yeah, I think they're a better team.
Are they?
You know, playing a little bit better football from the standpoint of Fitz is in there now. I think they have a guy, obviously, that is seasoned. When Rosen was there, just not quite sure who he was yet. Young guy, really hadn't played much football, and the game plan was much different. Obviously, Fitz knows where he's going with the ball. He'll still give you a chance to, you know, to obviously intercept it or get a strike, step, fumble just because of how aggressive he is in his game plan. But guys, for whatever reason, and you probably saw it when you was here, they rally around him. Just the way he leads, the way he interacts with people, people play much better for him. And I think they have also some young guys now that have gotten eight games underneath their belt. You know, a guy that I kind of know is Patrick Laird, the running back, young running back for their team that's going to probably play a little bit more offense. You know, he's gotten a lot better even on special teams, and I think that is kind of like their motto from, you know, every position group. All those young guys that got reps, they're getting better. They understand football now. They're no longer considered technically rookies inside that room. The culture's maybe starting to set in a little bit, and they found a way to win. And so definitely a confident football team coming
in. Is there anything to the fact that they're past the – trade deadline, nobody else is going to move. I mean, they were trading guys all the way through that first part of the season, all the way up through, and prominent players as well. There's got to be a little bit in their locker room where they're saying, okay, guy, this is our guys, let's go together. And of course, Fitz plays into that with his leadership.
Maybe. I mean, I think because a lot of the guys were obviously big-name guys. That was a cultural shift thing. But still, if you are a, you know, fifth, sixth round or a young draft, I mean, those guys getting switched in and out every week too. So I just think their culture's getting set. They're getting comfortable with what they're being asked to do, and they've had a lot of reps. And so a young team, I think, as the season progresses, normally gets better. And you saw this in, like, Cleveland a couple of years where they had, like, 22 or something rookies playing a lot of reps. As the season went on, even though they played tough and got better, even though they might have shown on the win column, they got better as the season went on because they had more game reps, and I think that's why they're a better football team.
The lowdown, their keys to the game, Lorenzo's keys to the game. What do you got? It starts up front, I guess, in your keys, huh?
Yes, attacking the line of scrimmage. I think sometimes, and I think I kind of mentioned this earlier, especially in the run game, you get so enamored about, hey, stay in your gap to where you almost take one step and kind of sit at the line of scrimmage, where we really want our defensive line to be attack-oriented, up the field, and being disruptive. You know, I can think about Kyle Williams last year when he was here, playing the three technique, sometimes he would get reached or scooped, but he was 3 or 4 yards in the backfield, making that running back either not be able to cut back or making him bubble. And I think when you're more disruptive, even if you may be out of your gap because the linebackers can make the defensive lineman right, I think that's a more productive way of playing football.
What and you've got, you want to play on their side of the line of scrimmage on defense particularly.
Exactly,
right?
Because sometimes when you set the line of scrimmage, them guys can knock you back. You get in the linebacker's way a little bit, and they can't flow and help you out. And so that's what it's all about. Just play an attack, be aggressive. That's the way football should be played on this side of the ball.
And on the other side of the ball, of course, for the offense and Josh Allen, all those guys, you want to finish their drives with TDs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the more points we score, the better it is for us. It allows defensively for us to pin our ears back and get great confidence for the offense because I think we have the ability to do some good things. We move the ball oftentimes and stall for whatever reason, whether it's a pre-snap penalty or holding. So just execution. From start to finish, to really be able to finish off some drives, put some points on the board, as I know we can do because we have the talent out there. And that's just really going to help us stay off the field and create confidence. And obviously, I don't think Miami's a team that's built to play from behind.
Yeah. Key number three, lowdown number three. You talked about it in the Cleveland game. You have chances for takeaways. You got to make those.
Right. Yeah, just taking advantage of the opportunities. I think that's probably one of our biggest things right now that we're missing out on. Especially when we're playing in tight games, it's changing the dynamic with some turnovers. Obviously, we had that big goal line stand, but it'd be great to be able to put some points on the board and give our offense an opportunity with a short field so they don't have to drive the ball 80 yards. They can maybe drive the ball 40 yards and score a touchdown. That'd definitely help as well in that category.
You bring the Gatorade right out here. You are concerned, and I'm sure the whole team is ready to be hydrated, right, for warmer temperatures?
Yeah, it's going to be warmer, most definitely. I think it's going to be like a 50-degree swing for us, which I'll love. I mean, I'll be able to get out there, run around, and feel
so
fresh.
Good.
Yeah, versus
cold. You don't
have
to bundle up, man.
Not at all. I don't have to wear sweats and all that just to get a good sweat in before the game. I can get loose and be ready to fly around. So it's going to be great for these old bones.
Yeah, that's
good,
good
luck.
Stuff.
Good luck, Lorenzo.
Yeah,
stay in one piece,
guys.
Bro. Yep.
Lorenzo Alexander joining us for the lowdown. It is brought to you by Hutch's. The lowdown brought to you by Hutch's Redefining City Dining. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. It's been a busy show. It's been a good show. Not as good as Wednesday's show. Best show of all time, Wednesday. No, Wednesday was a good show.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about, and we've done it all day. We want to resume it and hear from you in the next couple of minutes here, the minutes that remain in our show. A two-pronged attack on the Twitter discussion topic today. First of all, we haven't talked much about this, and I want to. What do you think about the Bills-Dolphins matchup? And in particular, what do you need to see from the Bills against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday? Give us a call on that, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Secondly, what's your reaction to the helmet swing, the penalties imposed by the NFL? Myles Garrett gets an indefinite suspension. A couple of others get suspended. What do you think about all that? We'll take phone calls. We'll read tweets. Let's get back to phone calls for a second here. Some of these folks have been waiting for a while. Greg in Lockport, are you still there, Greg?
I am still here.
Thanks for sticking around.
One thing I do, I get to enjoy the show while I'm on hold. So that's
there
good.
You go.
That's the idea.
Got a couple things. The question you just asked, I just want to win against the Dolphins. I don't care whether it's ugly. I don't care whether it's 17-16, 30-0. I don't care. I want to win. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay.
The Myles Garrett thing, what I've noticed is in this day and age, I can get online and I can watch 50 podcasts. I can watch, 50 people that are experts in the field. And what I really noticed watching maybe 7 or 8 different commentators, the ones that were former players, and Steve Tasker falls into this group, almost a controlled outrage as they speak. They're very upset to a man, everyone. And I've heard at least 3 say if he wasn't in the league anymore, that would be fine with them, that this was absolutely crossing the line. It's attempt to injure a fellow football player. And they talk almost to a man. They talk about the brotherhood in the NFL. When you play in the NFL, and the whistle goes, you're trying to pound each other. But, outside of that controlled mayhem, they just can't have players out of control. You just can't have players out of control when they're 6'4", 300 pounds, in physical shape. So that's what I really took. I noticed the difference between the former players that spoke about this and the people that weren't in the league. And that includes you too, John. There's just a different tone of voice, a different look on their face.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess. I mean, players have a different view of it than everybody else does because they've been up close and maybe been involved with fights in practice or games or whatever, what have you. So they do have firsthand experience with it. I think that the fight we saw last night was across the line for all of us, virtually everybody. And when it's across the line for everybody, the punishment, and because we've never really seen something like this happen before, guys don't really care what the punishment is. A guy deserves whatever he gets, and it's up to the league to decide what that is. The league's going to be fine with or without Myles Garrett. I don't expect him to be done, but certainly it's going to be a tough sentence for him to carry out. It's going to be a big suspension, a big fine, and all of that stuff. So whatever it's going to be, then you'll hear opinions about whether it's good or bad or enough or not enough or just right. So, but, yeah, that I think unanimously, even the former players in this situation are all in favor of the same thing. The guy needs to be punished. It was out of line and across the line, the line that shouldn't be crossed.
Hey, we have injury reports now for both the Bills and the Dolphins. The Bills have one name on the injury report this week, and it's a big one. Defensive end Jerry Hughes is questionable. Limited work yesterday, did not practice today with a groin situation, and Jerry Hughes is questionable. Everybody else is up and ready to go, including tight end Dawson Knox, who did not practice yesterday with a sore knee, but he did go full speed today. The Dolphins injury report, one player out. Cornerback Ken Webster is out for Miami, and they have four players questionable, including defensive end Taco Charlton with an elbow situation, safety Rashad Jones with a chest. He's coming back from his injury, should be ready to go. Linebacker Raekwon McMillan with a knee, defensive end Avery Jones with an ankle. You're caught up on the injuries for Sunday's game. Let's go to Kevin in Hamburg. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know you said you never saw about what happened last night, but I'll remind you of a guy named Lyle Alzado. That's what that rule was named about one time in the early 80s, and then he played for the Raiders. He did exactly that to another opponent when he was, and he was like a football, almost to the point of psychopath. I mean, there's quite a few of them, but he did that to a guy, and they actually, I don't know if you remember, they named a rule after that about taking off your helmet against a defensive guy with no helmet, and he blasted him a couple ones, and he was a total like nut job. So I don't know if you knew that there was a rule because of him.
Right. What else you got, Kevin?
What's that?
Yeah, we got you. What else? Anything else?
I think the fine against Cleveland money-wise should have been a little bit worse because, Murphy, you alluded to some, they've had some sneaker infractions and watch infractions. And last night, of course, was like a bad Sunday or a bad cherry on top of already a bad Sunday. So I think they should have money-wise given it to him and thrown in last night. And Murph just talked about the foot, the shoes and the headbands and watches and all the garbage right. They've been pulling up.
Yeah, I know. The Browns seem undisciplined. $250,000 is not inconsequential, and more fines may be coming, too.
And why? But do you think the Steelers, yeah. Do you think the Steelers, between you and me, do you think the Steelers' fine should have been exactly the same as the Browns?
Yeah, they were pretty bad too.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
It was out of control.
Yeah, it was out of yeah, and he makes a good point. The caller just before. You can't have guys out of control.
Yeah,
you can't have guys losing it and going out of control, and that's a line you have to cross, you know, etch in stone, chisel in stone. And that's what happened.
As we said, there's a report out there that the quarterback, Mason Rudolph, is looking at a fine. That would not surprise me. He went for the helmet first, right?
Yeah, and he kicked yeah. Garrett as well while they were down, which is should have been an ejection. Did he get ejected? He didn't.
He did not.
Yeah, he should have been. But I think because it was in a kind of a scrum and all that, it kind of went out. Because you have to really kind of watch the clips from certain angles to see it actually happen too. So it's easy to see that was missed in all of everything else that was going on. But yeah, that'll be looked at and called into account as well. And maybe that'll be his suspension. Because of that, he'll get ejected from the next game.
Let's go to Ed in Dunkirk. Hello, Ed. You're on the air.
Hello, John and Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say something about first of all, I'd like to say that the Bills got to beat Miami this week, and I wish them the best. And I don't have a whole lot to say about what I saw last night in the game, although I don't, it didn't go as far as to make me want to hang up the phone or turn off the TV. I have got something to say about the Colin Kaepernick situation.
Let's hear it. Let's go.
As a veteran, that pretty much made me want to turn off the TV. As a matter of fact, what I did was I used to not turn on the game for 15 minutes so I didn't have to watch that stuff. And a lot of us felt that way. I don't understand why they're dealing with it the way that they are, but the NFL does deal with situations like what happened last night, and they dealt with the Colin Kaepernick situation. There's been a lot of veteran embellishment during the beginning of the games, which I do appreciate.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, the league has gone over this for years with Kaepernick, and this is the next step, I guess. Like Andrew Brand had a lot of interesting things to say about this, Steve, with us. What was that, last hour? Right around this time last hour. And one thing, and you asked him, is it a sideshow? It is to me sort of an artificial thing to have this workout tomorrow, right? You got to think there's lawyers involved. Hey, if we do this, then we can argue this, right? And I just have a hard time taking that seriously tomorrow, that workout. I just don't think because, you know, like Andrew Brand pointed out, they don't do that. They don't have league-sponsored workouts for players who've been out. They don't do that.
I think it's a little bit of an attempt by the league to put this to rest. Like, okay, yeah. here's a workout. We're going to have everybody work him out. They can all come in and check him out. And now you can't say that nobody's even looked at him or given him a chance. Now all these teams that had an opportunity to do it are going to get that chance. And I think that's one thing. And maybe it was an offshoot part of the negotiated end to his lawsuit of collusion against the league. Maybe the league said, okay, we'll set up the workout. You know, if you take this deal, part of it will be we're going to set up a workout for you that nobody – so you can't sit there and say, you know, we're blackballing you. Never had a chance.
Collusion.
And he said, okay, I'll do it and take it. So maybe that was part of it.
A couple of tweets on the question of the day. The second question of the day was about the Bills-Dolphins. What do you need to see from the Bills and the Dolphins? The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. What do you have on your tweet sheet there, Stevie?
From Max, he says, I need to see the Bills click and score four or more touchdowns. Miami's a bad team, and you should be able to score on them. Also, Jack says, as far as the Bills, I need to see a complete performance, offense, defense, special teams. I want to see Allen make the smart play and stay on the field. Also, use Singletary against a bad run defense. I need our defense to get more pressure and force two-plus turnovers. I need House to get a bounce back and make his kicks. That runs the gamut right
Jack
there.
Jack has a lot of needs.
Jack, yeah. That's right.
Four more touchdowns. That's a lot.
We asked him what his needs were, and he told us.
He told us. Four. The first tweeter, Max, four or more touchdowns. That's a lot. Look, I told you.
For some teams, it's not.
You're right. For Buffalo, it's a lot. I told you, I think the Bills are going to put up 30. I think they're going to win. I don't think it'll be close. I don't know. Four more touchdowns seems like a lot, but three works. Maybe four. Maybe you do need. You almost need four to get to 30 points. I just think this Dolphins team is not that good, Steve. They've won a couple games. I salute their.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, pat on the back. They keep hanging in there despite the upper management decision to kind of tank. But I don't think I just think the Bills are a much better team than this Miami team. I really do.
It doesn't. Murph, let me just put it in the way it's a week-to-week league, and you don't have to be good. All you got to do is play good, and that's what Miami can do. If they play good, they can beat any team, the Bills included. And the Bills need to play as – now, the Bills don't have to play their best, you would think, to beat the Dolphins. But we've seen them – and we've seen them win some games where they weren't playing their best. But – still, the Bills have got to make this about them. They've got to play their game. They've got to play well. They've got to go out and execute better than they've been executing of late in order to beat this Miami team, whether Miami's got talent or not. They're going to line up, and you're going to have to play well to beat them, and the Bills have got to understand that. This is not going to – I don't believe this is going to be a game where the Bills win by 10. I think it's going to be a close game. And the Bills are going to have to mind their manners, at the very least, in order to win.
More on this game and a couple of closing thoughts when we return. It is One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health. We're in the Seneca studio at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. And so, what do we learn from today's show? This is how we wrap things up. What do we learn? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Good Friday show. Greg Cosell joined us from NFL Matchup and senior producer at NFL Films, talking about the Bills-Miami matchup. Talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick and what he has done for the Miami Dolphins this year.
I admire this guy so much. You know, people lose sight of the number of games he's started in this league. I think he started over 130 games coming out of Harvard. There's just a way he plays. He fights. He throws a pretty good ball. He can still move very well, even in his advancing years by NFL standards for a quarterback. Sure, can he throw a bad pick here and there? Absolutely, which is why at times he's been the starter and then not been the starter. But there's a toughness, a resilience to his game. You know, just as someone who loves football, I think he's kind of fun to watch.
He is fun. Fitz is 3 wins, 3 losses when he goes against the Bills, and this will be his 16th start against a former team. That's pretty amazing. Also on the show today, Andrew Brandt, the business of the NFL. He is an MMQB contributor. Andrew Brandt, we asked him about the fight in Cleveland last night and how quickly the league moved, issuing those suspensions and fines less than 12 hours after the game ended. Here's what Andrew Brandt said.
It was quite a show. I think the social media outrage did influence the speed in which the NFL acted. But listen, this is something where, you know, we're without precedent. Maybe there have been some helmet swingings going on, but not really at the head of a player. So we're in uncharted territory. We had the Vontaze Burfict suspension earlier this year, a long one, but this is going to exceed that. So I think they did the right thing in just saying, hey, it's indefinite. We'll let you know what the full extent is, but he's not playing again this year.
We didn't get into that, Steve, with Andrew, but you heard him say, and again, it's his opinion, the Burfict suspension earlier this year was 12 games. He says this will exceed that. That's what Andrew believes, which means you take the 6 this year, he thinks it'll be more than 6. He thinks this. It'll be more than 6 next year for Myles Garrett.
I agree. I think it should be 12 months. You know, take a year of the career away and let the guy pick it up midway through next season. I think it's serious, and I think they want to. I think they will make a statement about this. They can't have stuff like this happening in any game, let alone a game when it's a big commercial for everything the NFL should be about. It's just, yeah, they're gonna. I think they're gonna throw the guy under the bus.
How much damage was done to the NFL last night?
I don't know. It depends. I mean,
ratings won't decline.
No,
I don't think.
I think though, if there's a thought in the league. Up the highest levels, if they're going to steward the game, you got to know that the kids are going to see that. College coaches, high school coaches, youth football coaches, certainly NFL and you know, soccer moms, all of it. If you're going to steward the game, you got to send a message that is not a part of it. And when you cross that line, you're going to regret it. And I think that's the message that needs to be sent.
Myles Garrett, one of the better defensive players in the game. In fact, going into last week's game at Cleveland, I think I made the argument he's probably one of the top 3 defensive linemen in the game, but this is how he will be remembered. That's a price, part of the price he will play as well.
Yes, it is. And this is going to follow him around for a while, and it's going to take a long time for him to grow out of this one, if indeed he can.
Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely, at least the rest of this season, including postseason, plus a fine. Marquise Pouncey of the Steelers, 3 games plus a fine. Larry Ogunjobi of the Browns, 1 game plus a fine. Browns and Steelers teams have been fined, and more punishment coming, according to the league. All right, sick of talking about that. Aren't you sick of hearing about it? Our production assistants today, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Karchus, James Roble. Our producer is Jay Harris. Steve, have a great weekend.
You too, Murph.
I'll bring you back that win. Yeah. Do what I can. I'll do my part.
Enjoy your seats of the game. Mine will be better here in Buffalo.
You will
right?
see the game better than I will. No question about that. We'll see you Monday at 12 noon with One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.